Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you, that we can just connect and just give God praise. But let's do it right now. Wherever you are, if you're sitting, would you stand and just lift up those hands on the chat? Just say hallelujah, amen. Put some emoticons just to thank the Lord for who He is. I remember I used to live in South Carolina and I would make my way back home so often. And as I went down the highways, there would be fields. And in those fields, many times I would see these white particles that were there. And one time I literally stopped my car and went over and I saw cotton in the field. And I started to realize, you know what? God wants to use us just like that produce, that cotton comes out of that plant. Our lives are supposed to touch other people's lives. We're supposed to blossom in that same manner. And we're going to deal with that today. I want to thank you so much also for just praying for Ebenezer as we continue to grow in the Lord and just seek his face. We've got so many things that God has allowed us to be able to connect one with another at ebcnc.com. The Lord has made us living epistles. So as we grow together, literally, we're kind of like walking Bibles in the Lord. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna at 7 o'clock, different teachings and trainings. I think this Monday we're going to have a salvation teaching. For many, many, many years, I've wanted to actually produce just a salvation teaching, just so that I could talk to people, just give them the basics of understanding of salvation and a relationship with the Lord. So I think we're going to air that so that people can be blessed. Our sole desire is for more souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of the Lord. On our Tuesdays, we have our noonday Bible study where we're actually going through the book of Genesis, getting good history to understand, because everything in the Old Testament actually matriculates. It grows into the New Testament, and those interpretations really become profound and strong as we look at them. On Wednesdays, on our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke, almost finished. We'll be transitioning to the book of Acts. And then on Thursdays, we generally have our Thursday Bible study in person, but yes, it's Turkey Day. So we have canceled the Bible study on that day so that you can be with your families and be encouraged. Those who don't have families, we don't want you to be sad. Man, if you need someone to connect you with someone else, hey, contact us, send us an email, call us, and we'll try to make that happen that you can have someone to spend time. I know some of you are like, Pastor, I don't want to be with anybody. I'm going to Golden Corral, I'm going to KNW, and I just want to rest. And thank God for that. But we want you to be encouraged on that day. And then on our Sundays, thank you. Thank you for continuing lifting that up. So many things that are going on. Our 8:45 in-person service, of course, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. God has just blessed us tremendously. We thank the Lord for opportunities to give. We really focus in on that 2 Corinthians scripture that talks about that we should purpose in our heart and give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Put it in the chat, cheerful. Just say cheerful, a cheerful giver. And we can give cheerfully because the Lord has been so, so good. We've got so many opportunities. If you check out ebcnc.com, we're still doing the coats for kids. Tyrone and Anita Woods are really pressing for that. So they would love some coat donations. They have a wonderful challenge to really bring coats to kids that are in need. And so we ask you, please, please consider doing that. All that information is at ebcnc.com. Also today, third Sundays, we are feeding the hungry. And we are out at City Central Park where we're giving out food and clothing and other things. So there's so many ways that your giving is impacting our community. Well, I'm just thinking about the word. I'm thinking about how God is transforming us as we get back into fulfilling our calling as the Holy Spirit is moving in us. I want to go in a time of worship, just seeking his face, and we'll see you soon.
So I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It's two short scriptures, but it's very vital for our faith. Verse 13, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoings. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. May God add a blessing to his word.
Amen. Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. Here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship. All of my worship, here's my worship, all of my worship, receive my worship, all of my worship, here's my worship, all of my worship.
Silence, I will all.
worship, all of my worship, receive my worship, all of my worship, here's my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. You, Lord, you are worthy.
Isn't it so wonderful to be able to just worship the Lord and to go into his very presence? And I'm just really, I know that we have a relationship with him. He is our everything. Before we go any further, I just want to go on a time of prayer, ask you to pray with me also. Let's pray. Father, you are amazing. We owe you all of our worship. We need you, Lord. We need you to speak into our lives. With so many things that are going on in this world, Lord, and even in our local community, God, we need your power. So right now, Lord, I pray for those who may be looking and viewing in that don't know you. Lord, they have no relationship. They don't understand what worship is all about. I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that grace through faith that is not of ourselves, but it is a gift from you. We thank you for that gift. Now, Father, as we approach your word, we welcome your Holy Spirit that we sense is already here. Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you put in the chat, amen? I just thank the Lord that he has really been working in our heart with this whole topic that we've been going through, fulfillment of the call within our lives. I believe in this season and time, more than ever before, God wants to use us. It seems as things get darker, as the enemy steps up his attack, God's grace is poured out on us even more and more. Let's go to our memory scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:19, that we have been speaking and reading this aloud so it can get into our minds and seep into our hearts. So if you don't mind, if you would read this aloud with me, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Every time I get to that last part, it blesses me to know that the Lord is in charge. Well, today we are moving into another book, 2 Peter. Yes, we were in 1 Peter on last Sunday. We're going to 2 Peter, and we're going to go through this chapter. This will be a two-part message because really, Peter, as he's led of the Holy Spirit, is encouraging these believers as they're going through persecution, as we learned on last time we were together. And while they're in this persecution, 2 Peter actually takes us to a point of being an example, that we need to be an example also as we look at our lives and the calling that is produced by the Lord in us. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's focus in on the 9th verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want us to look at that 9th verse. Holy Spirit uses Peter in writing these words. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want you to really process that. I want you to think about it, these words. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to speak from a title today, The Fruits of the Call. Yes, The Fruits of the Call. Just the other day, we had some tree professionals to come into our yard, and I had some broken limbs that were really high and some other parts that needed to be trimmed and cut down. In the midst of that, he looked around the yard and he saw our cherry tree. Some of you have heard about this cherry tree. My wife bought it for us many years ago, thinking that we were going to get some cherries. Later on, we found out that it was an ornamental cherry tree. That means it goes through the blossoms and everything, but it just does not produce fruit. And the gentleman, he looked at that tree. It was kind of leading a little bit in certain areas. And he says, "You want me to cut that?" So I ran into the house to my wife and was like, "Well, the man wants to cut the tree." And she looked at me with these eyes like, "Don't touch that tree." But in that process, God wants us to do more than just blossom with flowers. He wants us to produce fruits in our lives as we walk in our calling. This time frame for this book is around 63 AD. Again, the saints are in the midst of tough persecution, and Peter is encouraging them to be an example as they're going through this persecution, to allow God and these fruits of the call to come out in their lives. Let's jump into this section, 2 Peter 3:1. "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Here's the first point. Stir it up. Yes, stir it up. Stir it up. There's something about even saying that over and over again that kind of stirs something on the inside. As we're walking in our calling, it is imperative that you got to stay focused and you got to stir it up, because the enemy is constantly coming at us. Look at that 2 Peter 3:1. He says, "I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds." Saints, please understand, the enemy is coming at the saints of God. He is trying to get us off the path, and he wants our lives to be like a rat running on a wheel, you know, thinking that he's going somewhere, but literally not really going anywhere, just round and round in circle. And that's the process the enemy does. And so many, if we're not careful in stirring up the gift that God has placed on the inside of us, stirring up our pure minds, we'll find ourselves not making progress. We'll find ourselves not maturing. We'll find ourselves not producing fruits that can really impact those that are around us. Please, as we stir up these things that God has put on the inside, Peter was writing here so that the saints could realize, even in the midst of struggles, God has so much more. Can you put in the chat more, M-O-R-E? He has so much more. Whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. In 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul the Apostle, he also was encouraging his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world." And as we think about these fruits of the call that God is producing, I am telling you, God has a harvest. Yes, he has a harvest. He has more souls to be saved. That's why he hasn't come back yet. We're going to talk about that. But look at the 2 Peter 3:2 as he goes on. He says, "Even though they're false teachers, in the midst of those saints as they were going through in Peter's time, as true believers, we've got to have a discernment." Yeah, we've got to know that it's all about God's words and that God can be trusted. We're going to have to endure as we go through. This life is tough, and so often We can feel lonely as we walk as Christians, loving the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But we've got to remember again that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. We're living in times that were spoken in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. We're in that time. I'm telling you, I've traveled literally all over the world and been in some places, and I can see that many times sound doctrine is just not there, and people just want the latest trend that's going on. And if they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, I'm seeing this, but we have to make sure that we're walking in the fruits of the call that God has put in our hearts. Look at this 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first. Can you put in the chat first? This is imperative, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. One word. This is the one word point. Haters. Yes, haters. Go ahead and put that in the chat too, if you don't mind. Wherever you're sitting, standing up, just say haters. I want you to realize, as we're really, God is producing the fruits of the call in our lives, we're going to have haters. We're going to have people that don't understand us, don't like us. As we give ourselves more and more to this transformative process, you're going to find that sometimes it's like hitting walls, but you got to know God is able to break through walls. Someone wrote this, an unknown author said, being judged by others means that you're that important that they have the time to think about you and talk about you. So often we get upset because people are talking about us, but we've got to understand this is a time to shine, especially as we're focusing on God and that fruits of the call are coming forth in our lives. The enemy will do all he can do to demean our faith, to pull down the faith. These people in this time, they were confronted by haters. They were confronted by people who were mocking the faith and trying to say that the Lord wasn't going to come back. In essence, they were saying, you're saying this over and over. He's going to come back. He's going to come back, but he hadn't come back. The same thing is that we're being confronted with now in this season and time, as we're saying it is getting late in the evening and the sun is slowly going down. And I can see that Jesus is on his way back and some semblance as we see the world going crazy. But others will say, well, he hadn't come back yet. I heard that when I was 10 years old. And my granddaddy used to say that. But please, you got to know that God is faithful and he will judge this world. But even though the stresses of life that we go through, God is still producing something in us. These fruits of the calling in the life. In spite of our haters, we've got to walk in the power of God. And that's what Peter is encouraging these saints to know, that the word of God is faithful. Philippians 3:14 really gives us encouragement as we go forth in the fruits of this call. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Look at 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were old and the earth standing out of water in that water. And then it goes on, it says, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Here's the point, the word of God. Yes, the word of God. Now, as we've gone to the scriptures, I'm going to break it down. Basically, we started creation within those scriptures, and then we talk about the flood, Noah's day, but we look to the future judgment that God is going to bring. That's why it's so, so important that we've got to walk in the fruits of our call. And that's why Peter is encouraging them that God has a dynamic plan that he's working within our lives. Peter encourages them to hold on to the word. And I encourage you to hold on to the word. God's word is faithful. Every time I go through these 66 books and I go line upon line, precept upon precept, man, it is solidified more in my heart that God is faithful. Look at this. In these scriptures, God created the heaven and the earth. How? By his word. He spoke it. That's how powerful God's word is. In the Old Testament, remember Job, he was having an issue with the power of God's word. And I understand he's going through, he's lost just about everything in his life. His body is diseased. He's got friends that don't understand his pain. And literally, he's kind of lashing out at God. But God shows up in Job 38:4. I love this portion of scripture talking about fruits of the calm. Where were you, God says, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Sure you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The fruits of the call. God is saying here, my word, you can take it to the bank. Whatever I say, it is going to come to pass. So powerful that it is creative. And that's what God has deposited on the inside, these fruits of the call, that when God is using us as we surrender more and more to him. Judgment has been sure within the scriptures also. As God's blessings has been there, he's also brought judgment, as we talked about early with the flood with Noah, and judgment is going to come upon this world. The power of the word of God is actually seen in Hebrews 11:3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We've been really studying in our Thursday evening Bible study about angels, and we're understanding there's so many things that we can't see, but they're powerful. And we've got out of the scripture by God's word. He has produced stuff that are really determining where nature is going. And we can't even see it. That's how powerful. But yet it has framed the world. It's keeping our earth twirling on its axis. It's keeping the sun in its place. There ought to be some saints say hallelujah out there. Saints, we can trust God's word as he's producing these fruits of his calling on the inside of us. What he said, it is going to pass. He keeps his promises. He never fails. Abraham walked in the fruits of his calling in Romans 4:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. In the chat, can you put 100 years old? Just scream out 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to. I'm talking about the word of God and the fruits that he wants to produce in us through that call. 4:22, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. But I do want to deal with this portion of the text in 2 Peter 3:7. It said, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It comes to the fact here that God is keeping this place. I know we have the threat of nuclear war, and we've got the threat of wars that are in various places. We've got the threat of murders and all kinds of gang violence that's occurring. We've got relationships that are breaking up, but you got to understand God is still a keeper. More souls need to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Theologian Arthur Farstead, a former editor for Nelson's Publishing, he actually brings out this thought of wars. He says, he captures in his thoughts when he says, in this nuclear age, we understand that matter is stored up in energy. The splitting of atomic nucleus results in the fire release of enormous quantities of energy. So all the matter in the world represents tremendous explosive potential. You feel that? I do. I feel this as we're looking at Ukraine, as we're looking at Israel and Russia and Hamas and the Sunnis and the Gaza Strip. We feel all of this. At present, it is held together by the Lord and his word. If his restraining hand were removed, the elements would melt. In the meantime, the heavens and the earth are being reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I'm talking about the fruits of the call. That's why why it is so important to walk in what God has for us today, because we just don't know the exact time and hour that he's coming back. Look at 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I love this scripture. Would you read it with me again? 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Here's the point. Just one word. We've been talking about this. Time. Yes, time. T-I-M-E. Time. We must remember, as we are walking the fruits of the call, and Peter is also encouraging them, that God is outside of time. And we equate, and it's hard for us to understand that, because we are in time, right? When we look at the mirror day in and day out, we're seeing time work and transform our bodies, and we're fighting against that. I don't care how much you go to the gym, I don't care how much makeup you put on, new clothes, still time is working on us, and all of us have a specific amount of time that God has put us here, but God is outside of time. God controls time. God is not affected by time. I've been called up. My kids, early on, they got me into the Marvel universe, and we used to look at Flash. I don't know if you know about that, but those who do, just walk with me on this. And Flash, it was one of my favorite shows. I used to get with the kids, and we sit down and look, and then we got to Flash running into the past, and then I realized it was going to get tough, because when you start to deal with the past, and then Flash could run so fast, he was running into the future. I was like, they can change anything at that point. And then they began to manipulate time. So we would go through a whole season thinking someone was dead, and then we'd find out that Flash just went back into the past, or he went to the future and he changed something. I was like, you know, we got to stop looking at this. And then I got caught up in another series, the Loki series, where I also starting to deal with time, man's concept of time, and Loki is able to pause time and go to different times. I said, yeah, this is going to get tricky again, but I'm so glad that God is outside of time, and God has given us a specific time that we can work in, that he can use up, that these fruits can come forth in us. Look at this Psalms 90:2 out of Contemporary English Version. It says, you have always been God long before the birth of the mountains, even before you created the earth and the world. At your command, we die and turn back to dust. That's that time that we deal with. But 1,000 years mean nothing to you. They are merely a day gone by, or a few hours in the night. You bring our lives to an end just like a dream. We are merely tender grass that sprouts and grows in the morning, but dries up by evening. We deal with that concept of time, and that should actually get us excited, that even though time is ticking, God wants to use us to produce more fruits of the calling on the inside of us. Jesus states of his calling in John 9:4, but I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Think what Jesus did in 3 years of public ministry and turned the world upside down. I'm talking about time. Peter is encouraging them that even though they're suffering, even though they're going through, even though false teachers are around them, God has allotted them time that they can actually show forth that powerful calling that God has deposited within them. Look at this 2 Peter 3:9 as we pull this all together. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Final point, the fruit. Yes, the fruit. We've been talking about the fruits of the call, and Peter's going to bring out and connect with us. What does that mean? God is giving us time to be used by him. Yes, and in that time, he has specific people that he wants us to connect with so that more souls can really know who he is. 1 Timothy 2:3 says it like this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And God knows he has put you within this realm, and there are certain people that you connect with that I will never connect with. But I am so glad that God gives us the fruits of our calling within us. He wants to use all of us. He has deposited something great in all of us. All we have to do is just submit it to him. The fruits that will be produced within our lives are actually progressive. Yes, they grow at levels. That's why these saints were under persecution as they were going through. They had to learn patience. They had to learn to wait on the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 4:26, talking about the fruit and the progressive nature of it. And he said, "The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed in the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how." Here it is, that 28th verse. "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." God wants to produce a harvest in all of us as we're walking in the fruits of the calls and the blessings that he's put upon our lives. But sometimes we can feel that God is a bit slow. Any amens out there? We can feel that he's just not running at a quicker pace. But that's where that patience comes forth. And that's where we've got to realize that even now, God is impacting lives around us. Habakkuk needed to know that God would accomplish what he said he would, that his word was true, that the calling was profound. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie." I love this part. It says, "Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tear." I'm talking about the fruits of the call. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrew deals with it like this in Hebrews 10:37, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." There ought to be some saints said, "Thank you, Lord, for working out the fruits of the call." But ultimately, it comes to the fact of what Jesus did by going to the cross of Calvary and taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet for you and me. What a mighty God we serve. But I love Isaiah 53:4. I often quote that, but I want to go back to that third verse because it really summarizes what the fruits of the call will do in our lives as Jesus gives us the ultimate example. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as we hid, as it were, our faces from him, he was despised and we did not esteem him." That fourth verse, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The fruits of the call were being produced on that cross of Calvary. Some of you seen it at Resurrection Day. There's some churches that'll put up a cross and they'll put flowers coming out of that. But I think they don't just need to put flowers. They need to put some fruit coming out of that thing, because that's what God did for us on the cross of Calvary. He produced fruits within our lives that souls could be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Isaiah 53:6 said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Aren't you glad for God that died on the cross of Calvary, gave up the ghost for us, and he was put in a cold grave, but he got up on 3 days later with all power and all glory, and he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us that the fruits of the call will come forth, that people will be impacted for the cross. For all that Jesus has done for us, there's still people that are in darkness. And when we embrace the call that God has put upon our lives and we begin to produce fruits, and literally these fruits come from God himself, Oh, what a wonderful harvest will come forth. What a wonderful day that will be. That 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's our call. God has deposited in us some beautiful things. Yes, there are different facets, as we've talked about that, how we impact people, but the calling, the fruits, he's put in us, and he wants us to share with everyone that's around us. I'm telling you, I encourage you, saints, that we step up, that we pray more, that we read God's word, that we worship him, and we give it all to him, knowing that he is a faithful God. And that he is coming back, that judgment is coming, but he's given us, remember that point, time. Yes, time, this season, that we can reach out to as many as he allows. For those who don't know Christ, we talked a lot about salvation within this message. I pray that today be your day, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And guess what? The scriptures say you will be saved. It's by faith, that grace of God. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift that he freely gives to us. What a wonderful gift. Would you receive him? And as you receive him and you ask him into your lives, guess what? The fruits of the call begin to be produced in you. You may be the one that's called to impact a cousin. You may be the one that's called to impact an auntie. But God is saying, I want to use the callings that I've placed in your lives. Saints, I want us to stand strong for the Lord in these days. As we see so many cataclysmic things happening, we can know our God is still in control. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for the fruits of the call. Thank you for this message, Lord, that you put upon Peter's heart to write to the saints of encouragement and to be an example even in stressful times. Lord, I thank you that you're still saving souls and bring them to the knowledge of the truth in this season, in this time. And we pray together, Father, to use us for your glory. Thank you that you are so faithful. We give you, Lord, praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. No, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul.